Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really digging into an ingredient that might seem kind of subtle, tarragon, but it actually holds surprising power and, well, a lot of history.
It really does.
We're pulling from a great source for this, the Flavor Notes newsletter, number 14, by Mark J. French. He's a chef, a consultant.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And our mission today is basically to uncover that subtle power. You know, from its origins way back to how we use it now, plus some really cool tips and trivia.
And what's fascinating, I think, is how this herb, which we often see as just like a background note.
Right, a supporting player.
Exactly. How it has such a rich backstory, so many uses. This dive should help you get not just what it tastes like, but, you know, why it matters, why it's special.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack this whisper of tarragon, as the source calls it, and see why it's considered like a secret weapon for serious cooks.
Sounds good.
So first off, origins. It feels so French.
Right.
But where is it actually from, and how did it get so big in French cooking?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you're right. We totally associate it with France now. But its roots, they're actually firmly in Central Asia.
Oh, wow.
Its journey to fame, you could say, that really happened in France. That's where it became this absolute pillar of classical cooking.
Huh. And the name tarragon. Any story there?
There is, actually. It likely comes from the Latin dracunculus.
Dracunculus.
Yeah, meaning little dragon.
Little dragon? Why?
Well, the thinking is it refers to the sheep of its root system.
Yeah.
Kind of coiled, you know.
A little dragon root. Okay, that's memorable. So how does a little dragon herb used presumably somewhere else entirely become this French staple?
Yeah.
From like medicine to hot cuisine.
Well, exactly. Before it hit the kitchens big time, medieval monks were using it more medicinally. Things like helping digestion, maybe aiding sleep.
Right. The usual herbal remedy stuff.
Pretty much. But yeah. The culinary moment when it became really essential, that wasn't until about the 19th century.
Yeah.
In France.
Ah, okay. So quite a bit later.
Yeah. And from then on, it just became indispensable. You absolutely need it for classics like Béarnaise sauce, and it's key to the Fines herbs blend.
Right, the Fines herbs. We'll come back to that. So, okay, origins covered. Let's talk about the herb itself. If I'm holding a fresh sprig, what am I looking at? And what's that taste profile?
Visually, you'll see these slender leaves, narrow, kind of glossy, nice green color.
Okay.
And the flavor.
Mm.
It's really unique. It's delicate, but also bittersweet. You get these distinct notes of anise or, you know, licorice.
Mm-hmm. That anise kick.
Yeah, definitely. And then it finishes quite soft, sort of herbal and clean, lingers nicely.
Is there a common mistake people make with it?
Oh, absolutely. Trying to substitute dried tarragon and expecting the same result.
Yeah.
You really have to use it fresh, if possible. That delicate flavor, it just fades so much when it's dried, it loses all that nuance.
Oh, okay. Fresh is key. Noted. And the source mentioned there are different types. French versus Russian.
Yes. That's crucial. You get French tarragon, that's the one you want. It's prized, it's refined, subtle. That's your culinary star.
And the Russian.
Russian tarragon. Well, it's often avoided for cooking. It's much harder to grow, sure, but the flavor is coarser, more bitter. Less of that anise complexity.
So if you accidentally grab Russian tarragon for, say, that delicate béarnaise.
Oh, disaster. It would totally overpower it.
Yeah.
Probably ruin the sauce.
Yeah.
So yeah, choosing the right one really matters. French is the way to go.
Got it. Okay, I love this description from the newsletter. It calls tarragon a fine brushstroke on a bold canvas. What does that evoke for you in terms of using it?
That's such a perfect way to put it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It tells you it's not about hitting you over the head with flavor. It's about precision. It's potent, so you use it carefully.
A light touch.
Exactly. That delicate, bittersweet anise note, used sparingly. It just transforms a dish. It adds complexity, elevates things without dominating everything else on the plate, like adding that one perfect highlight to a painting.
Right. So beyond just the flavor itself, where does it really perform best? What are its natural partners in the kitchen?
Well, it's pretty versatile. You can use the fresh leaves, obviously. Dried, like we said, less ideal, but possible. And tarragon vinegar is fantastic.
Ooh, tarragon vinegar. Okay.
Yeah, great stuff. Food-wise, it's brilliant with lighter proteins. Think chicken, fish, shellfish. And it's absolutely classic with eggs.
Eggs, right, like in an omelet.
Perfect in an omelet.
Yeah.
And it loves rich things, too. Cream, butter, white wine sauces, mustard sauces. It just cuts through the richness beautifully.
And we mentioned béarnaise.
The cornerstone.
Yeah.
And of course, the Fines herbs blend. Just to remind everyone, that's usually parsley, chervil, chives, and our star today, tarragon. All chopped finely, gives this fresh, balanced herbal hit.
So it's not just for those classic French sauces then?
Oh, no, definitely not. It's great infused in vinegar, like I said, makes wonderful herb butters. You can use it with lightly pickled vegetables too.
Pickled veg, interesting.
Yeah, adds a nice aromatic quality. Mm. And even in salads or dressings, just a little bit, used sparingly, it gives this really sophisticated bite.
Okay, so that brings us to the chef's tip from the source material. How does that fit in?
It fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. The advice is basically use fresh tarragon, use it sparingly because it can overpower.
Right, the fine brush stroke, not a paint roller.
Exactly. A few leaves can be enough, and add it late in the cooking. If you cook it too long, that delicate flavor just disappears.
Okay, add it towards the end. Good tip.
The vinegar tip is great to steep fresh tarragon in white wine vinegar for, say, 2 or 3 weeks. Strain it, get this amazing flavored vinegar that lasts ages and adds instant character to dressings or reductions. Really useful.
That sounds really useful, actually. Okay, so it's a culinary star, but you hinted it's more than just flavor. What about other uses? Health benefits, traditional stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's got quite the history there, too.
Yeah.
Traditionally, it was used to help with digestion, stimulate appetite. It was also thought to have mild sedative qualities. People sometimes brewed it as a calming tea.
A calming tea, huh?
Yeah. And modern science backs some of this up. It contains antioxidant and anti-inflammatory compounds. Plus, interestingly, it was used for oral health.
Oral health.
Hell. Yeah. Freshening breath, mainly. But its essential oils were apparently even used in some old toothache remedies. Probably had a slight numbing effect from the eugenol, maybe.
Wow. So not just French kitchens, but folk medicine, too. Any specific regions known for using it this way?
Definitely. It shows up in folk medicine records across Russia, Iran, the Caucasus, places where it grew more naturally, perhaps, before its French fame. And there's even some research looking into its essential oil for, like, mild antimicrobial properties.
Mm.
So, yeah, versatile stuff.
Okay, this is the really fun part. The newsletter had a bunch of, like, surprising facts, little trivia bits. What jumped out at you?
Oh, loads. Okay, first one. French tarragon. It's sterile.
Sterile.
Meaning it doesn't produce viable seeds. You can't grow it from seed. You have to propagate it vegetatively so, from root divisions or cuttings.
No way. So that explains why you don't often see tarragon seeds for sale, or maybe you see Russian tarragon seeds.
Exactly. That's a huge practical point for gardeners.
Yeah.
Second, Napoleon Bonaparte. Apparently he loved tarragon vinegar.
The emperor himself?
Yep. And his preference really helped popularize it in France. Goes to show how trends catch on.
Huh. Okay, what else?
Third, think about herbs. Lots are bitter or earthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tarragon is one of the few with a truly aromatic bite. That anise note gives it this unique lift. It's not just green flavor.
The aromatic bite. I like that. Okay, keep them coming.
All right, this one's wild. In Armenia and Georgia, tarragon is a key flavoring in fizzy soft drinks.
Soda. Green tarragon-flavored soda.
You got it. Apparently, it's a bright green herbal soda with, like, a cult following. Oh. Totally unexpected use for it.
Wow. Okay, my mind is slightly blown. Tarragon soda.
Right. Then, back to the practical. That Russian tarragon we talked about. Just to hammer it home, it's hardier, easier to grow, but it just doesn't have the finesse of the French kind. Always choose French for flavor.
Got it. French for flavor.
Also in Iran, where it's called tarkoon, it's commonly used in stews and also sometimes in drinks.
Tarkoon. Okay.
And, as we've mentioned a couple of times, but it's a key fact. It's one of the four classic fines herbs. Essential.
Right. Parsley, chervil, chives. Tarragon.
Exactly. And finally, linking back to the drinks thing, it wasn't just modern sodas. Tarragon was used way back in the 18th century in botanical soft drinks. So that herbal drink idea has history.
That is a lot of unexpected twists for one herb. So wrapping this all up, what does knowing all this mean for, you know, the average person interested in food and cooking?
Well, I think if we zoom out, it just shows how much depth there can be in even seemingly simple ingredients, things we might overlook.
Yeah, definitely.
Understanding its specific taste. Knowing about the French versus Russian types, realizing you need to use it fresh and with that light touch, it empowers you. It lets you use it intentionally to really elevate your cooking, turns it from just another herb into a specific tool.
From ancient remedies, that little dragon root, to its reign in French sauces and even, amazingly, in fizzy drinks, tarragon really does have quite the story.
It does.
It's a great example of how one ingredient can hold so much history, so much nuance, and these really surprising sides. And the source even gives a recipe to try escalopes of salmon with tarragon crust. Sounds like a perfect showcase.
Absolutely. And maybe this whole dive raises a bigger question for you listening. What happens if you pick any single ingredient, one you use all the time, and really dig into its history, its varieties, its unique qualities. How might that change how you cook or even how you see food culture?
That's a great thought to end on, something to explore beyond just tarragon.